relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today.
You're listening to America First with Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Donald J. Trump.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
We have decided to bring you regularly cuts from true statesmen and women, including Ronald Reagan and some others, and Shad, our engineer, has already collected a small library that we will be sharing with you over the foreseeable future. That, of course, was the preamble from the Gipper. It is that time of the week to be joined by historian, columnist, financier, and the author of A President Like No Other, Donald J. Trump, frequent contributor to the fabulous website American Greatness, Lord Conrad Black. Welcome back to America First.
Thank you, Sebastian. Always a pleasure to be with you.
We'll talk about the substance of your latest piece, the comparison between Biden and FDR. But let's talk about this. It seems so de rigueur with any new administration, the first 100 days. What is the origins of this strange metric of measurement?
Well, I believe the first use of it was in reference to Napoleon, between when he returned from Elba and the Battle of Waterloo. It was a little over 3 months, and in 1815, April to June of 1815. And so it didn't have a particularly glorious origin because it wasn't a successful time for him. The first part was successful as the attempt to set up the blue-bomb monarchy collapsed and the country rallied to him, but of course it ended badly for him at Waterloo. But then it was revived in American affairs after the fact, not by the president himself, but in Roosevelt's time, because when he, in those days, the inauguration day was on the 4th of March, and when he entered office in 1933, the banking system had collapsed and all the stock and commodity exchanges in the country had been shut down for some days. So the whole financial system had collapsed. So he called an emergency session of Congress at once, and he put through his Banking Reform Act, and then he kept them in session and put through emergency relief measures and the Tennessee Valley Authority, which ultimately provided electricity to the rural areas of 7 states and took care of drought control and flood control and so on. And so it was a massive program that he put through very quickly, and everyone recognized he had a very broad mandate to deal with a terrible emergency, a collapsed financial system, and a 30% unemployment rate with no direct relief for the unemployed. So they could beg, steal, or starve. That was their choice. And that's what he was facing. And many of these measures went through virtually unanimously and often without any debate because, you know, the country recognized that radical measures were necessary. So the trouble is, and it happened that the session prorogued on, I believe, the 16th of June, so it had sat for 104 days. So at that point, the press referred to it as the 100 days after the fact. Now, Roosevelt himself didn't, the press did. And then it just became a phrase. But, you know, the circumstances were entirely different. It was a grave emergency, as he said, as serious as war itself. And he was, to say the least, an entirely different personality to Biden. So it's kind of absurd to use that phrase now. But as you're right, a lot of administrations have on the, but what it really means is a honeymoon. And every president in our time, Sebastian, incoming new president, has had a honeymoon except Trump. Instead, he had this ludicrous Mueller investigation thrown at him and the widespread speculation he'd committed treason. That was the version of a honeymoon that he got. But at least it is a sign of returning normalcy that in general people are, as they should, giving the new president a chance and, you know, staying off his back for a while and seeing what he can do.
You make the point that the honeymoon won't last forever, but you do say that what we have witnessed in the last 30-plus days is a quieter, less contentious and less combative ambiance around the president. Is that good enough for measuring the success of the 46th president of the United States, a more congenial atmosphere?
No. I think it is a good thing in itself. I think everyone, those who admire Trump like we do and those who disliked him, would agree that it is, in the abstract, a better thing to have a more civilized atmosphere. I think everyone can agree on that. But no, of course it isn't enough. I mean, now they are the government, and their life doesn't consist of simply throwing muck at Donald Trump, although they're continuing to do it as best they can. First, with that spurious second impeachment, even more preposterous than the first one, and now with this commission that Pelosi wants to set up about the January 6th events, which, if it's run properly, will completely exonerate the president and put the blame where it belongs. And some of it belongs with the speaker, by the way. But the Democrats are going to have to be weaned off this addiction to Trump hate as a substitute, not only for government, but for politics. That's all they've done for the last 5 years, is throw muck at Trump. They haven't done anything else. And now they have been given the responsibility to govern in the Congress and in the White House, and they've got to do it. And, so far, the only legislation that's been presented has been a COVID relief bill, of which, as far as I can see, 90% of the $1.9 trillion in it has nothing to do with COVID.
Right, this is exactly what I wanted to ask you about next, and you mentioned this in your piece at AmericanGreatness.com that we are posting right now on our Twitter and Facebook feeds, that we have this almost $2 trillion package. According to the minority whip, Steve Scalise, who was on cable news yesterday, 90% of that $2 billion has nothing to do with health-related provisions. Lord Black, isn't that just the swamp doing what it... I mean, this looks like they've just snapped back to pre-Trumpian business as usual.
Look, I think it's actually... I don't want to be an alarmist, Sebastian, but I think it's worse than that. I mean, in fairness to Obama, and I'm not... You know, I always respect any president of the United States, and he was a substantial figure in some ways. But I'm no leader of the Obama cheering section. But I don't think he ever produced such a preposterously extravagant measure as this. Even his 787 million shovel-ready reconstruction bill when he came in 12 years ago in the midst of the aftermath of the Great Recession, even that was economically frugal and focused compared to this. I mean, here, what are they doing? They're subsidizing abortions in underdeveloped countries and assisting in indigenous language training. I mean, I'm not saying these aren't good things, some of them, but not in a COVID relief bill.
Do you have any theory how they can so give in to their old mores, the equivalent of half the national defense budget, $300 billion being thrown to those Democrat-run states that are on the edge of bankruptcy? Is there any excuse for this behavior?
I wouldn't say there's much excuse for it, and I don't think it is going to be a success for them, although they'll get a longer pass than they should because of the docility of the media. The 95% of the national political media, as you know, and 100% of the social media threw in with the anti-Trump movement, and so that coalition, which was artificial anyway, will take a while to break up. But and the media being fundamentally antagonistic to those in office, unless they're totally suborned, will gradually recover a slight independence of judgment, I think. But no, it isn't adequate. I mean, it absolutely is not adequate. And once we've celebrated for a few months the fact that the atmosphere is less contentious, there's going to be an increasing curiosity about what exactly this administration is doing. I mean, what do they actually think they are doing to justify the mandate that they've been given? And they got a pretty good mandate. I mean, they have control very narrowly, but of both houses of the Congress, and they're getting a proper honeymoon, which Trump didn't get. And everyone, Democrat and Republican, wants them to do well. And everyone who wishes America well wants them to do well. What are they doing? Well, the answer has got to be something more than throwing money out of the windows and celebrating that Trump's gone.
The article is Biden is no FDR, and he is perfectly positioned to make that comparison, author as he is of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, champion of freedom and also a president like no other. Donald J. Trump. Follow him right now, Lord Conrad Black on Twitter at Conrad M. Black. I am Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Stay on this channel.
Discord, may we bring harmony. Where there is error, may we bring truth. Where there is doubt, may we bring faith. And where there is despair, may we bring hope.
Fabulous message. I think on the day of the election success of a true leader, a woman who shaped my formative years growing up in the UK, of course, that was Margaret Thatcher. We are building our new library of statecraft with clips from individuals such as Thatcher and Reagan. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios with our regular guest, Lord Conrad Black, the author of A President Like No Other, Donald J. Trump. Follow him on Twitter right now at Conrad M. Black. Lord Black, the cabinet of Joe Biden has yet to be fully filled. Yesterday we heard the confirmation hearing of his attorney general as designated, one Merrick Garland. It did not go well, even from a, how shall I say this, unpartisan and objective point of view. Let's just listen to one of his responses to do with a very clear issue: crossing borders in the modern age of the Westphalian nation state. This is Cut 3 yesterday, Merrick Garland.
Do you believe that illegal entry at America's border should remain a crime?
Well, I haven't thought about that question. I just haven't thought about that question. I think the president has made clear that we are a country of with the borders and with a concern about national security. I don't know of a proposal to decriminalize, but still make it unlawful to. And the answer to that question, I haven't thought about it.
After the President of the United States, Lord Black, the Attorney General is the most senior law enforcement official. Does he need to think about the question as to whether or not crossing a border without a state's permission is legal or illegal?
I would have thought not. I think what he was really saying is, I'm waiting for instructions before I answer. And I don't know that that's good enough. Now, I understand that there's an argument to be made that an illegal entry remains illegal but isn't a crime. It's a civil offense. I suppose that argument can be made. But in that case, what he surely should have said is that it depends on the circumstances. It may be a crime, but even if it isn't a crime, it's still illegal. and as such, being illegal, it's not tolerable. Now, and then say, and then saying it's not my role, and it wasn't your question to comment on immigration policy, but on the basic question of whether an illegal entry is illegal, of course it is illegal. But why? I mean, if you and I know that, it's a wonder to me that it didn't come to his mind. I was disappointed in him, and I expected him to give a formidable performance because I actually felt some sympathy for the way he was treated when he was put up as a nominee to the Supreme Court 5 years ago. I didn't approve. I didn't agree with Senator McConnell not allowing it to come to a vote. I'm not saying he should have been confirmed. That's none of my business. But I think any president has a right to have his nominees brought to a vote. By the way, just while I have a chance, I want to thank you for playing an excerpt from Margaret Thatcher. She was my sponsor in inducting me into the House of Lords of Great Britain, and she was a dear friend and a great statesman, and it's always a thrill for me to hear her.
Thank you, Conrad. It's a rare breed. We need more of her ilk than ever before. My friends, if you're enjoying this show, please support one of our dearest sponsors, a man who is under attack right now, being boycotted by more than 24 companies. His name is Mike Lindell. He's the inventor of MyPillow. Please send a message to the cancel culture leftists out there who want to destroy this man. Go to MyPillow.com, order any one of his incredible U.S.-made products. Use my name for 60% off. Show some love to this man and send a message to the cancel culture left. The number is 800-829-8468, 800-829-8468, MyPillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A. Lord Black, we are within days of the 45th President of the United States making his first public speech since leaving the White House this Sunday at the massive conservative convocation that is CPAC that is now being held in Florida this year. What do you expect him to say, and what would you like him to say?
I imagine he will respond to his critics and will make a powerful case for his stance on immigration, his stance on Iran, his stance on relations with Israel and the countries that he brought into official renewed contact with Israel, and that he will reply to the outrageous arguments that they, as the vice president put it, started from scratch. I mean, here's a man who personally brought forward by over a year the timetable for a vaccine and saved undoubtedly millions of lives all over the world. And that he should be subjected to that kind of criticism is outrageous, even by Trump 8 standards. I would think he'd reply to all of that, and I hope he does. Now, I hope he's temperate and doesn't give any ammunition to those who try to portray him as a boorish man who is inappropriate to high office and doesn't know how to behave like a president should. I think his enemies have gone so far out in the limb demonizing him, it's relatively easy for him to make them appear both ridiculous and malicious, which they are. They are both ridiculous and malicious. Not to say he's above criticism. There's some things you and I would disagree with him on. That's not the point. But the obloquy, the hate poured onto him by his opponents and an almost unanimous media is a national scandal and disgrace.
And do you expect him to say anything about future elections or future candidates?
I imagine he'll stick to his line that the Make America Great Again movement is strong and vital, and its greatest days remain ahead of it. And I imagine he would be non-committal about whether he would seek to run again for president. I mean, since the election isn't taking place for another nearly 4 years, there's nothing in it for him to give the game away now. But let's get some suspense going.
The latest article from our regular guest, Lord Conrad Black, is Biden is no FDR. We're posting it right now, but please check out all his writings at the Superlative American Greatness site. That's amgreatness.com. He is the author of A President Like No Other, Donald J. Trump and the Restoring of America. Your calls next here on America First. Our number, 833-33-GORKA, G-O-R-K-A. That's 833-334-6752. We are broadcasting live from the Relief Factor. Studio still in the sin bin with YouTube, because we believe in the First Amendment here. If you want to make sure that you never miss any of our interviews, go to our alternative account at the video site that believes in the First Amendment. That's rumble.com, rumble.com/SebGorka, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A. And also our website where you can hear this show 24 hours a day. That's SebGorka.com, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A. Back with your calls after these messages. This year marks 20 years since America's darkest day, September the 11th, 2001. And the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's frontline heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our most severely injured heroes to live more independent lives. Our nation's heroes, people who are willing to die for you and me, need your help. Join Tunnel to Towers on their mission to do good and help these heroes. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's the letter T, the number 2, and the letter T.org. That's T2T.org. Thank you.
Snowflakes got you down. Had enough of Nancy and Chuck? Well, the doctor is in the house. Coming at you live, America First, with Dr. G.
We've got so much to share with you. Some amazing audio and video cuts, but I got to get Jeff to decide which is most important, because we need to take your calls, Chad. Don't you think we need to take some calls?
The board is looking pretty darn full, Dr. G.
Pretty flipping full. And the first guy, Jeff in Pittsburgh, he's got this thing that I've been hearing as a theory, and I need to work it out for myself. So let's do it together. Let's travel, you and I, to Pittsburgh and talk to Jeff. Line one. Welcome, Jeff.
Dr. Gorka, how you doing, sir?
I'm great good. And share your question or your idea with all of our millions of listeners.
Well, it just irks me when I hear people say, oh, we need term limits. One thing is, it's a pipe dream. You know, they're never going to vote to cut their own throats.
You mean the executioner's not going to execute himself, yeah. Jeff?
And second of all, it limits us as we the people. When we put someone in office who is hearing, you know, our voice, what we want to do, it puts a shelf limit on their term.
But isn't that a good thing?
No, it's not a good thing.
Why?
You get a right person. You get a right person in office. You want them to continue to do the work of the people.
Okay, stop, Jeff. Stop. I understand the logic. Okay, if they're doing well, they should be there forever. But here's my question to you, and this is why I like term limits. I know it's a pipe dream. I know it's a pipe dream. But why I like it? Because, Jeff, what do you think our founding fathers thought about politics? Do you think that they believed that the electoral system should create a class of individual who is a professional politician?
The thing is, our founding fathers did put term limits. Well, we do have term limits on our presidency.
Hang on. You're not answering the question. Do you think the founding fathers, who risked their lives, their treasure, and their sacred honor to establish us as an independent republic, do you think they would have approved of a professional political class with individuals who were elected and stayed in office for decades? It's a very simple question, yes or no?
No, but we have the capability of primarying them out, and that's where we're lazy as we the people.
Yes.
We need to be in touch of what they are doing, what they are not doing. Are they hearing our voice, or are they crony politics, rhino Republicans? And if we're not engaged, which people say, oh, I don't talk religion or politics. Those are the most two subjects we should be talking.
Religion, I agree.
Where we get our moral code. And politics is the governing engine that drives the direction of our country.
Let me flip it another way. Don't you think we have a massive problem with career politicians just doing whatever they want?
Absolutely, and it's our fault that we reelect them.
We get someone to primary them,
and it's our fault.
No, I agree. On that, we can agree. God bless you, Jeff. Stay on the line. Let's give him a signed copy of whatever he wants, because he gets it. We're just too flipping lazy. Let's go to Jim in Arizona, line two. Welcome back, Jim.
Hi, Sebastian?
Yes.
Yeah, hi. Nice talking to you again. It's been a long time. I was going to mention I'm one of the 80 million people or so that voted for Trump, and I can't wait for him to come back. I myself believe he won, but what I wanted to say is I tried the MyPillow products for the first time because of what's going on with Mike Lindell.
Good.
I bought the Dream and the comforter.
Okay, here we go. Here we go, Jim. What do you think of Mike Lindell's products?
It's so good that I couldn't believe that I did really sleep better than ever.
We love
and
you,
my
Jim.
My little boy, my 5-year-old's here sitting with me. Didn't you like his stuff, Samuel? Did you hear that?
We love it. God bless. Listen to what this man did. Listen to his 5-year-old Sam.
He's telling you he got a sticker today at school.
What was the sticker of? What was it? What's the sticker?
Because he was a good boy in school today.
But what was it? What's on the sticker? Is it Batman, Superman? Is it a gold star? What is it?
Was it a gold star, babe?
Yes.
Well done. Well done, Jim.
He said it's a little bit gold.
Okay, stay on the line, Jim, because I want to talk to Mike Lindell. And I think there might be something we could send you and little Sam. Let's get Jim's address. What a great call! We don't have ringers. We don't have people set up to call us in like some other shows. That's real. Are you supporting Mike Lindell? Do it today. Go to MyPillow.com. Do what that man did. God bless you. MyPillow.com and use my name, GORKE, for a massive 60% off. What a great, great, great call. Okay. If you call us, do me a favor. Check out who your provider is. If it's one of the big companies, cut the cord right now. You can keep your number, but join the only conservative Christian cell phone company now. Rated number one in customer service with an amazing nationwide 4G LTE dependable network. They are US-based, and they are patriots, and they're conservatives. Switch today. They support the causes you believe in, unlike big tech and the big cell phone companies. Call 972-PATRIOT, 72728-7468, patriotmobile.com/GORKA. Amazing rates and even better rates for our first responders and veterans. Join the good guys today. That's patriotmobile.com/GORKA, 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-728-7468. Join the good guys.
Well, a big part of the challenge here for a number of schools is that they need, in order to operate responsibly and given the threat of budget cuts, they need to obligate funds according to spending plans rather than exhausting all balances as soon as they're received. So the challenge here is how do they plan ahead, right? They can hire, if they need to hire additional teachers now for smaller class sizes, or if they need to hire bus drivers, or if they need to hire, they need to do improvements to their facilities. They want to be able to know, understandably, just like any business or company, that they will be able to employ teachers next year and the year ahead. So that's why this funding is so essential, is because they need to be able to plan ahead so that they can make the improvements now, do the hiring now.
Is there a school for people to not answer questions and still talk at the same time? I mean, that was amazing, wasn't it? That was Jen Psaki admitting, if you're not paying attention, she's admitting what? The COVID relief package is going to throw millions and millions and millions of dollars back to the schools, the, you know, teachers' unions, you know what I mean? The guys that fund the Democrat candidates. Not so they can reopen, but so maybe they can, did you hear her phrase? They can work out if they're ready to teach. Oh, that's good, isn't it? That is utterly Orwellian. Something else that is fantasy and Orwell mixed into one is the latest venture. Let's just put it like that. The latest venture from one Hillary Rodham Clinton. From the Daily Caller, Jordan Lancaster. Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is reportedly working on a fictional novel with her longtime friend and writer, Louise Penny. Who is? Never heard. Never mind. The international political thriller is titled State of Terror. Well, if Hillary Clinton's involved, I think it should be called State of Terror. And will be published in October. Robert Barnett, who represents Hillary Clinton, could you imagine representing Hillary Clinton? And Penny reportedly gave the rights to the book to Simon & Schuster and St. Martin's Press. And what is it about? You'll love this. Quote, a novice Secretary of State joins the administration of her rival, a president inaugurated after 4 years of American leadership that shrank from the world stage. The synopsis of the novel continues. A series of terrorist attacks throws the global order into disarray, and the secretary is tasked with assembling a team to unravel the deadly conspiracy. A scheme carefully designed to take advantage of an American government dangerously out of touch and out of power in places where it counts the most. Get me a bucket. That's all I'm saying. And I know what the sequel will be. The sequel will be that this novice Secretary of State, who so adroitly managed this terrorist threat, runs for president, and this time wins. This is what? What is this? This is the fantasy life. The sad, pathetic, idée fixe of Hillary Clinton. But it's very amusing. Let's go back to your calls. Let's go to... let's talk to Matt, North Carolina, line 5. What's your problem, Matt?
Oh, I don't have a problem, Dr. Gorka. I want to say thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
And I told you a great call screener. I believe his name is Mr. G.
It is. There's Dr. G and there's Mr. G.
Thank you, sir. Anyway, I told Mr. G that idiot Alex from New York, when I first called almost an hour ago, no problem there, because I help run a company by phone. I can do two things at once. Anyway, I thought he was the stupidest caller in the world, so I heard the next caller threaten you. Is that not at least telephone threats, if not threatening a government official?
Well, that's a good point. I am a government official, kind of. I'm a presidential appointee. For those of you who aren't aware, we had a conversation offline with a sad individual who lives in his mother's basement who threatened to release my cell phone number online, which I guess is the definition of doxing. And I was rather irate with the individual. And I told him there would be consequences, legal consequences, if he did so. And I hope... he is making the right decision because I don't suffer fools gladly. We shall see what he decides to do. What is it? What is the line from the Indiana Jones third movie? Choose wisely. Choose wisely. Thank you, Matt, for your call. Let's go to the top of the call board. It is absolutely full. Let's go to Greg in Pittsburgh, line one. Welcome, Greg.
Yeah, hey, I heard a caller a little while ago talk about the primaries, which it's hard, you can't argue with it, that there is various things. He mentioned laziness.
Yes.
In the primaries, which, you know, these swamp rats just keep going on and on forever.
They're not right? challenged. You know, not challenged by us.
They're not challenged. Yeah, but isn't that similar to what everybody's doing in the media right now when they don't want to talk about what really happened in the last election?
Explain the parallel.
Well, if we know the last election, there was a lot of things that was wrong with it. Okay?
Oh, yes.
Like one guy that steps up, spent $3 million of his own money to go out and really, you know, whatever it takes.
Hang on, you're breaking up, Greg. Say that again. One guy goes out.
Support him.
Say it again.
You support him. I support him. And why won't you talk to him? You don't have him on your
who?
Show. You won't
who?
Talk
who?
To
who?
Him.
Who? 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 Who are you talking about?
Lindell, Mike.
What do you mean?
You had him on TV and said, I don't want to hear the minutiae.
Because I didn't want to. Because I didn't want to. I asked him a question about
why?
His support for the president. That's what I have it right here. I have the call. Greg,
the
stop.
Election.
Greg. You're falling for fake news. You really shouldn't fall for fake news, Greg, okay? It's garbage. After the Newsmax interview, I had him on this show. Why are you making stuff up, Greg?
I never hear you talk about
that. I had him on the show afterwards. You've got to be better informed. You, as a listener to America First, mustn't fall for fake news. Do your due diligence. I have in front of me the court case that is being brought against him for $1.3 billion by Dominion. Why? Because I want to talk about it. Please, Greg, my gosh, do your homework. Don't come to class not having done your homework. Not with me, because I'm Dr. G. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, are you in daily pain? Have you found relief nowhere else? If that's the case, do what I did. And tens of thousands of Americans try this 100% drug-free product that is providing relief across the nation. You've waited long enough. Give it a try today. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com or call 800-500-8384. It'll be at your house in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening, just like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me and thousands of Americans. You've waited long enough. You know it makes sense. Find out today. 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com.
Making sense out of today's news, here's Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
I love that Mamba music. Can't get enough of that. Okay, I promise you, because our last caller mentioned it, who's a little bit confused. Mike Lindell is a friend of mine. I didn't cut him off on Newsmax. I had him on the show after he was on Newsmax. And I have in front of me, this is crazy. We should post this. So this is the court case that Dominion Voting have brought against Mike Lindell and MyPillow. It's an outrage. They're suing him for $1.3 billion. And in the first sentence, they accuse him, I've got it highlighted there in orange, of using the big lie. The big lie. That's what Hitler invented, and they're accusing him of doing it. I'm going to analyze it at length, but we don't have time for that. We'll get to it, but we've got some great calls. Let's continue. Connie in Virginia. Where are you headed off to, Connie?
Hey, Dr. Gorka, this is Sonny.
Yes, I know. Where are you off to?
CPAC, of course, to see you.
I'm so jealous. No, I'm not going to CPAC because it's not in the swamp. No, it's not in the swamp. I can't. I've got a radio show to do. But I am so excited. Hey, will you do me a favor, Connie?
Yes.
Will you call us from CPAC?
I will. Okay. What's a good time to call?
During the show. You got to call us during the show. God bless you, Connie. Be safe. Got to squeeze in one more call. I'm jealous of Connie. Let's go to Tim in Jacksonville, who has an interesting observation. Welcome, Tim.
Thank you, Dr. Gorka.
Hey.
Three quick things. Number one, earlier caller talked about people won't talk about, you know, religion and politics.
Yes.
Well, if you're a born-again Christian, how are you going to expand, do what Jesus told you if you don't talk religion to people?
Agreed.
We commanded
that. You don't have to be born again, just a Christian. If you're not living your faith, carry on. Second?
Second is, I'm almost 60 years old. I grew up in with the freedoms. When I was a kid, I could walk down the street with a BB gun, you know?
Yes.
Going to squirrels or whatever, or gun racks in the window, in the trucks. You know what I'm talking about.
I do. It's changed.
My kid can't even carry a Bible to school because we don't talk politics to people. And people walk around.
This is
like,
such an important point. We should be talking politics, especially since the left has made everything politics. You can't shut it out of your lives when they're using politics. Last point, Tim.
Last point is, have you heard of the Pollyanna curriculum?
The Pollyanna curriculum? I don't think I have.
Yes, sir. Look that up, and all your callers, listeners, look that up. I just made aware of it today, and I got to do more research. But this is where these kids are getting all these ideas. They're actually teaching this in our schools, and in the opening little statement that I read about it this morning, they use facts and fiction to get their points across about white privilege.
All right, the Pollyanna curriculum. We're going to check it out. Thank you, Tim. Don't go anywhere. John, Lori, Sharon, everybody on the line. We're going to break our own rules because we can, because I make them. Here in America First, we're going to take calls at the top of the hour here on the Salem Radio Network from the ReliefFactor.com studios with me, Dr. G.